To write great headlines, and all, you know, this is, nobody had quite known what to make of Einstein, but suddenly he's famous, and if I can find it, I should have looked it up first, but it's my favorite headline as a recovering journalist, my favorite headline of all times. Coming out of the Royal Academy meeting, here's the New York Times headline right here. Lights all askew in the heavens. Men of science more or less agog over result of eclipse observations. Einstein theory triumphs. Stars not where they seemed or were calculated to be, but nobody need worry. Anyway, so Einstein is incredibly famous, travels to America, and once again, defying convention, because the attacks on general relativity, part of the attacks were that it was Jewish science. It was philosophical. It was not grounded in reality. Einstein, who had never been that religious, becomes much more fervent in his connection to the Jewish people, Jewish kinship. He comes to America to raise money for Hebrew University, the settlements in Palestine. Comes with Chaim Weizmann. 10,000 people meet him at the docks of the Battery, because suddenly we're in the age of celebrity. Weizmann comes off the boat first. Asks Weizmann, "Do you understand the theory of relativity?" And Weizmann says, "Every day on the trip over, Einstein explained it to me. And by the time we got here, I was convinced that he understood it." For reasons only us in Washington can fathom, Einstein, when he comes to Washington, Senator Boyce Penrose of Missouri decides that the U.S. Senate should debate whether relativity is correct or not. Senator John Rankin of Mississippi leading the opposition, talking about howling at the moon, I think was one of the phrases he used. Einstein goes to visit President Harding. They ask Harding the question they ask everybody, "Do you understand relativity?" Harding, being something unusual, which is an honest politician, says no. Einstein says that's okay because Einstein doesn't understand the theory of normalcy, which was Harding's political platform. He goes to the National Academy where there's that wonderful statue of, I don't know if you've seen it on 21st and Constitution, there's a statue of Einstein and he's reclining and it's just a great statue. He was there for a long dinner and it went on past midnight while more and more people droned on about their science. He finally turned to the physicist next to him and said, "I've developed a new theory of eternity." Anyway, the last part of Einstein's life is something interesting, because having been such a rebel, he all of a sudden becomes a defender of the old order. He wins the Nobel Prize for quantum theory, but he starts resisting quantum mechanics. He doesn't believe that God would play dice with the universe, as he says. By that he means Heisenberg has come up with the uncertainty principle, Niels Bohr and others, that all of things are really probabilities, there's no strict causality. The whole notion of the quantum means that you can't have strict laws that tell us everything. Einstein says, no, God would not play dice with the universe. At one point, Niels Bohr finally says at the Solvay conference, "Einstein, please quit telling God what to do." But it's interesting to those of us who reach 50 that when he reaches 50, when he starts resisting the more rebellious ideas. They ask him why, and he says, "God punished me for my contempt for authority by turning me into an authority myself." And so, for the rest of his life, he dedicates himself to a few things. First of all, he had been a pacifist, but when Hitler comes to power, he does something which we don't do in this city often enough, which is, when the facts change your theory or your ideology. You let your facts determine your general theories. So he quits being a pacifist, writes a letter to Roosevelt explaining how a bomb could be built and why we should do it. That starts the Manhattan Project. Somewhat oddly, J. Edgar Hoover is already the head of the FBI. Because Einstein had been a pacifist, has been compiling a dossier on him and decides Einstein's a security risk and can't work on the project. Einstein becomes somebody who fights for intellectual freedom, fights against McCarthyism because of this, saying no society can be creative unless it allows free thought. And that's the great thing about America, is that free thought and free expression are part of our souls. Therefore, we're the most creative and imaginative of nations. He also continues to try to find the unified field theory, something that will overcome quantum mechanics, a theory of everything that'll make it all make sense. Keeps struggling
for 20 years, people ask him, why is he doing it? He says, younger scientists can't do it. They can't afford the risk. But I've already made my reputation. I'm already famous. If I fail, it doesn't matter. But it's what I believe, that there's a spirit underlying the laws of the universe. And, I'm trying to capture it. And he fights for nuclear arms control after the bomb is used. All the way to the very end of his life, on his deathbed, he's had an aneurysm, it bursts, they bring him into Princeton Hospital. He lingers for a couple of days. On a Saturday, finally revives a little in the afternoon and asks for his papers. And he starts writing a speech he was supposed to give for Israel Independence Day. And he writes the first line, which is, I speak to you today, not as a Jew and not as an American, but as a human being. And he was trying to tie it into the cause of world peace. But then he puts it aside and he picks up a page of equations. Still, they're in the book there, still with the crossouts and mathematical mistakes, crossing them out, doing it, line after line of equation on the unified field theory. And he picks it up and tries to write one more last line as he trails off of equations that he thought might get himself and the rest of us closer to the spirit manifesting the laws of the universe. And then he puts it aside and goes to sleep for the last time. So that's how a very impertinent, rebellious, but incredibly imaginative third-class patent examiner became the mind reader of the creator of the cosmos and the locksmith of the mysteries of the atom and the universe. Thank you all.